Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Why Don't They Laugh? This episode is going to be focused on health, nutrition, fitness. I got to sit down with probably one of the most influential people in my life ever, to be honest with you, Kevin Lilly. So I talked to him at his gym. We just sat in my car and talked, and I recorded it. And his influence and his point of view is so fucking profound. I met him 6 years ago. I was fat. When I say fat, I use the word fat. I need different words. Fat to me is like overindulged, like jiggly. You can be heavy and not fat. I don't know. I need a better word for that. But I was over 300 pounds. I was 315 pounds and I'm 6'7", so it kind of blended out a little bit, but I was a pig. I was a bit of a pig. I ate and drank whatever I wanted, didn't exercise much. And I used to be in shape, but you know, I just was like, I'm relatable. I'm a comedian. I don't have to be good looking. So I was fat. And I was going to the Crunch gym every now and then, but I would just kind of go and elliptical a little bit and just kind of do nothing. And my buddy Dan Levy, who's a comedian, great comedian, he was training with this dude. And the dude, it turns out it's Kevin. And he's just working at Crunch, and he was honest with me. He told me that I was heavy, and there was no mean in his voice. There was no anger, hostility, judgment, nothing. He was just stating a fact. You're heavy. You could use some work. And it hit me so, I couldn't deny it at that point, because I was inoculated to being called names, because I would see the insecurity in the name calling. If someone's like, you're a fat ass, all I hear is, my dad didn't love me. You know, I can see through people. Or if someone said, no, you're perfect just the way you are, I'd be like, okay. Kevin just objectively looked at me as if I was a car that needed an oil change and said, you need help. So I started training with him. And he's working at a chain gym at this point. But there's something special about Kevin. I can't put my finger on it. But he can just see right in your soul, and he knows what you need. He's like a trainer slash psychiatrist slash life coach slash guru in one. And since then, he's now one of the most respected trainers in the world. I mean, so Amy and I are watching the Academy Awards this year, and out of nowhere, this is what Ryan Seacrest says.
Very into fitness. I ran into the guys that run Heart and Hustle Gym, where she works out, and got trained for Room. So you can see it all paid off right there. That dress fits perfectly.
Stunning. And Ryan, how about this? One of your...
Okay, that's Ryan Seacrest talking about Brie Larson, the Academy Award winner this year. He just referenced Kevin's gym, which is just him and one other guy, Greg. So from Crunch, they started their own gym called Heart and Hustle right in Hollywood, right on Sweetser. And it's just decked out to exactly what they wanted. Whenever I'm in there training with them, you'll see the craziest people just training, because training is like comedy. Exercise is like comedy. It's like food, like sex, music. These things all break down social boundaries. I suffer from paranoia sometimes. I think that people that focus on patterns, especially musicians, artists, engineers, mathematicians, suffer from paranoia, because you start manufacturing patterns that don't exist. Like, I'll see patterns in music, and that's what makes me great at music. I see patterns in people, that's what makes me great at comedy. But a lot of patterns that I see aren't really there. And I think people are against me that aren't. And my way of getting out of that cycle is moving my body. And it makes my mind realize that these patterns that I focus on are just my physical desire to move. So doesn't matter if you want to run a marathon or just touch your toes, move your body, because it'll help your life. A trainer, a good trainer, will look at you and say, if you can do this, you're doing good. And so I know this is a long intro to an interview, and it's not even about comedy, but it's so about comedy. It's because it's all related. It's all the same life experience. And he's open about his missteps in life, his successes in life, what he thinks about life. And it's really, really worth a listen, because your physical health leads to your family's health, leads to your mental health. Like, your mind is part of your body. And a lot of people forget that our bodies are made to move. And so I have Kevin's contact info in my show notes. If you just go down and email him, you know, train with him, don't train with him, write to him. He's not your run-of-the-mill guy. You can write to him anything and he will absorb it and he'll think about it. And that's what makes him special. So this is a guy that probably extended my life. He extended my mental health. Even when I'll go a year without training at all, like giving him no business whatsoever. And we still hang out every couple of weeks. We have dinner. We run together. We talk. We text all the time. He is the real fucking deal. And so I wanted to give him my platform to talk. I really think that you guys should listen to this and just, you know, think about taking off your shoes and feeling the ground underneath your feet. Much love. All right, here's Kevin Lilly. All right, so I'm here with my buddy, Kevin Lilly, who single-handedly turned me from a slob into a legend. Remember that? You got to tell the story about when we met.
Well, I think my thesis on this, right, is that addicts are addicted to everything.
Yeah.
They can either be super successful or they can end up in a gutter. They're just extreme with addicts, right? So, no, Owen was massively successful because he showed up and he was willing to put in the work that was necessary. And you lost, I think, 70 pounds in 70 days, which was fucking crazy.
Is that a record, you think?
I mean, I know you're obsessed with numbers, but yeah, let's call it a record. That's definitely a record.
I think you've broken some records. This year I was watching the Oscars and Seacrest gave your new gym a shout out. That was insane.
Yeah, so Heart and Hustle has been my dream, my lifelong dream, and it's come true. We have Heart and Hustle here in Los Angeles, and yeah, Seacrest gave us a shout out, and we have interesting characters that come through all day. You know, I think the key is that we don't call ourselves celebrity trainers. It's just we have a really fun family and everybody gets along. And look, some people come and go, but the ones that we want to stay have all stayed. So no records necessarily broken, just a lot of vision and a lot of gratitude and a lot of hard work. And shit's gotten really fun and weird.
I think people get addicted to the psychiatry of your training sessions, because like there's a lot of noise out there in the world. So one thing I always appreciated was when you're in a business with so much subjective reality, where it's like, what is funny? What is a good actor? What is a good script? I'd go do a session with you and it's like, can you do another back lunge? And if the answer is yes, you win. And if it's no, you have to try harder. And I love that mindset of just like, you can complete this, and if you do, it's good, and if not, you have to try harder.
Yeah, I think my whole thing, and then my business partner Greg, who I really consider a genius at this, it's, you know, where it has evolved for us when it comes to personal training, it's not like, it's we are the furthest thing from like boot camp style instructors, but it's more of learn what the individual needs, not only physically, but also mentally. And for you, it was success. Was it yes or no? There is no gray. And I mean, look, dude, and I picked up on that from day one. It was just like, measure my body fat. How many reps did we do last week? Can we break the world record in sets? And it's like, you know, that's why I'm like, oh, full-blown addict. Okay, let me, this is how I'll motivate him, through numbers and through success, right? And where other people just like to come in and, like you said, be unplugged and be out of the zone. You know, I think where a lot of trainers, and not to go down, you know, this rabbit hole.
Dude, this is all about rabbit holes. All
right, I'm down. But I think a lot of trainers fuck up by being like, this is the way you do things, and I read this, and I studied this person, it's this and that, where it's like, no. You are getting paid to listen to what the individual needs. You know what I mean? If I go in and get a haircut and I say, yeah, give me a low fade, yada yada, and they shave my head, I'm never going back to that motherfucker.
So true.
You know what I mean?
It's the same with comedy. It's like if I was like, these are the jokes you should like. You should like my witty one-liners. And they're like, but we're Montana.
Yeah, I don't know what the 405 is. Stop
right,
telling me that
exactly.
Joke about
yeah.
The 405. Right. So it's like, you know, at the end of the day, I think a successful trainer, right, anymore as my industry evolves is one that not only listens to what the end user, the client, wants, and then apply what they need. And sometimes I got to sneak it in. Sometimes I got to be aggressive. But ultimately, I think you just need to figure out personality and go from there, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, for you, it was great. You came to me and you wanted to make a life change. And 70 pounds and 70 days later, and now you're full-blown fucking maniac.
Full-blown.
Full-blown.
Because this podcast is called Why Didn't They Laugh? Because I like to analyze my failures and then grow and learn from them. Along your path, what have you learned? Like, what's been something where looking back, you're like, oh, maybe if I had done this differently, this person might have grown more or something like that. Have you ever had a situation?
For me or for when I'm coaching?
You know what I mean? Both. Either one.
You know, for me, I often analyze my own athletic career. And, you know, I wish I had done a bit more, not work, because I did the absolute most work that I could possibly do. But I wished that I worked a little bit smarter than harder, right? So, like, you know, not that my college career was a failure. I look at some of the guys, and now working with professional athletes, you know, I played college football, and it's like, wow, I was so much fucking stronger and faster than these pros that I train. And not to say that in a cool way, just I didn't do the due diligence and the research actually to how I was training. And towards the end of my career, it turned into, yeah, I bodybuild full time, and then I put a helmet on once a week and hit people. You know what I mean? As opposed to, so I think for me, when I look back, I go, wow, if I could have, you know, just done a little bit more outside research, right? But for clients, I think it's tough, man. I think it's tough to, you know, pinpoint one story on what they could have done better. You know, I only get 1 hour a day with people, right? And what we say, and, you know, Greg coined it. He said, it's the other 23 hours that count, right? So for me to take the blame or even take, you know, the glory for somebody's successes, like, you tell people all the time, I changed you. I didn't do shit. You know what I mean? You did all the work.
Well, yeah,
right?
But I think a lot of people need someone to look up to. I think you can see it with our culture everywhere where someone's just like, tell me what is good. Like, what is right? Like, a lot of people want that. In the time of so much information, it's so easy to have our heroes fall. Where imagine all the comics that are like, I want to be just like Bill Cosby.
Right.
And it's so, I think it's very valuable to have someone just be like, no, it's wrong to eat all this sugar.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, really? Great, I can follow that now. When you don't have that, that's why I told you you got to write a book called Lion Tamer, where it's like, even the kings of the jungle, I've seen you train some of the alphas of alpha, like the just the kings of the world, and they look at you like, is this right? Because, like, everyone wants leadership, and I think our culture is starting to overempower everyone so that everyone's like, no, I can eat sugar because I ate this, like, organic prune. And you're like, no, you don't know shit. And then to have an expert explain it to you and then to see the results, I just think that that's really important. And so you did change me because you were one of the first people to just be like, no, you're fat. Like, I was convincing myself I was big boned. I was over 300 pounds. And you're like, no, you gotta trim it down.
All right, then let me ask you this. What was the reason you were willing to listen to me? Because that's what you're saying is all very true. But what you're forgetting is that for some reason you were willing to listen to me. And maybe you would have listened to anybody at that point.
Because
life.
You weren't lying. And I can tell when people are lying and when they're not.
Right.
And I just think so much of our life is consumed by people avoiding confrontation. And just people being like, oh, no, you're big boned. You're relatable. You're just the way you should be. You know, everyone's a snowflake. And you were like, because you weren't being mean to me. Like, if someone's like, you're a fat bastard, I'd be like, well, you're a dick. You were literally looking at me like without any intention, just being like, you should lose weight.
See,
and I believed you.
See, and that's the thing. Like, I questioned myself a lot because I knew you could take that.
Right.
Right? When, like, my friends or, like, peers will see me in this industry, they're like, and I go, I don't know what this skill is called, but I know very quickly what people are able to handle and not handle. And I'm not talking physically. I'm talking like mentally. I can't talk to everybody like that. There's some people out there, and I'm sure there'll be some people who listen to this that'll be like, yeah, if somebody, you know what I mean? You have to do a lot of coddling. You know,
yeah.
It's almost like parenting in a way.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like,
when you're dealing with your son and he's crying, if you just start screaming at him, is he gonna stop? You know, it, maybe.
This
right?
morning he did.
He did.
I'm just kidding. No, I didn't scream at him.
No, but like the point is like I, for whatever reason, very early on, knew that you could handle that, right? And it worked for you. But there's a lot of people that wouldn't work for, right? Yeah. And that's what puts the personal in personal training, right?
What do you think's the best thing for people, just like your random person that wants to feel better, what should they do?
Oh, God. I mean, let's go really deep into the rabbit hole. Move. Let's just start with that, right?
Yeah.
Like, dude, when I'm feeling down, or I call it when I'm dealing with my demons, and I don't have any real demons. I'm very blessed with a great life right now. But when I'm dealing with stress, you know, when I start moving, I feel better. The sky gets brighter. Right, but the whites in my eyes get better, and I start to see things for what they are. I think one of the biggest problems, and especially in North America, the United States, you know, is we don't move enough, right? And I'm not saying that it has to be an hour at the gym every day or whatever, but it's just like, you know, we sit in a car, we sit in a desk, we, you know, whatever it is, we sit on a couch, iPad, iPhone, snap this, snap that. I mean, it's all fucking well and good, and apparently technology is going to make our lives better, but like, the amount of money and pain that people deal with because we don't move enough is insane, you know?
Yeah, like we're living longer, but our morbidity is also increasing. So it's almost
Who cares, right?
Right. It's like a painful life.
Yeah. I got my father to join a yoga class last year, and it's changed his life more than anything in the last, you know, 60 years of his existence, right? And it's the simplest toe-touching stretch nonsense you can come up with. And I'm not kidding, and it changed the game. You know, that's the thing. Not everybody's got to get on the stair climb or bench press or whatever. It's just like, move your body. Move your body every day, and watch what happens when you move your body at a level that you're comfortable for. Your body will adapt. The body adapts to the stresses we put on it, period. Good stress and bad stress, right? And so, you know, I think there's a lot that can, you know, can point at food, you can point at water, you put at stress, but I don't think we move enough. I think once you start moving, the rest will align itself. Like exercise for an hour and then drink soda.
Right. Yeah, it all comes from that same core.
Right.
And move with, like, a purpose. Like, find something you want to do and do it. Even if it's cleaning. Like, Amy loves cleaning. I know I'm blessed to have a wife that loves cleaning, but, like, it's cardio. Like, she'll just start scrubbing stuff and moving stuff around, and she's just in this zone where, you know, she's just happy. And that's, like, what you're talking about, which is moving. Like, lately I've been running barefoot in the sand, and that's been doing wonders for my brain.
Well, I mean, think about that, right? And there are so many books out there, and they're, you know, now it's becoming mainstream in a sense, but, you know, if we are energy, right? And I know you want to go into rabbit holes
right
now.
I love it.
I know you do. But if we are energy, right? Like, you're taught that in high school science, right? Positive, negative, electrons, right? Protons, right? Let's go there, okay? If we are connected to the Earth, we're going to exchange energy with the Earth. The Earth has energy, too. That's made clear to us every day. Why the fuck would we constantly wear a shoe with rubber on it that cuts off that energy to the Earth? So, of course, every time you put your feet in the grass or your feet in sand, you're going to feel an exchange of energy right, for the better. So, yeah, I mean, look, dude, the barefoot running, I wouldn't suggest that people just start going into it, but what I would suggest is take your shoes off one day and just walk around without shoes on and watch. You know, you'll be sore the next day. You will absolutely be sore. I'm sure day one, what did you do, like, 5 miles shoeless?
Something crazy. Yeah, I got blisters, but then I just worked through the pain. Yeah, because it's like a lot. We got to think. This is the problem with our culture right now, is we don't picture why we look this way and act this way because of millions of years of a certain thing, and then it all just changed, and we have the ego to think it's all for the better. And it's like, I was reading that our teeth are crooked because our jaws are built to just chew the shit out of, like, really hard things.
Okay.
So, like, we don't develop a big enough jaw for all our teeth. And it's only a recent thing that we need braces.
Straight teeth?
Yeah, no, back in the day, no, we would be chewing, like, celery times 10, like raw roots.
Sure.
So that our jaws would like naturally develop bigger. And that now that we just eat all this like fucking baby shit, our mouths are just weak. And it's the same with eyesight. Nearsightedness doesn't exist in any culture that doesn't read. Wow, like it's this, sad. Just boom, yeah.
Well, our bodies adapt, and they adapt generation to generation. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
I was born with, like, when I was like 7 or 8, I grew an entire third set of teeth.
Holy shit!
There's photos of me at like 8 years old, and it was like, they probably should have like put me in a home. Okay.
You're like a shark.
No, I had an entire, not like, oh, look at that one third round of tooth he grew. No, like, I had an entire third round of teeth.
That's insane.
Why the fuck did I have that?
Like, that's fucking crazy.
That's a true story, bro. I had to have them all removed.
How many teeth?
What are you talking about?
Another fucking...
Yeah. Another top row, another bottom row. And some hadn't cut through the fucking... Whatchamacallit?
The gums?
Gums. Yeah. They'd go in and rip them all out.
Dude, you should have kept them all.
Think about that. I'd be a fucking, like... What do you mean? I should have kept them all.
Dude, you could literally chew, like, you would be able to chew through leather.
Point is, I don't think anything is random.
I don't think so either, man.
I think somewhere along the line in my family lineage, right? Like, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Totally.
And it's like, you know, if we as a culture continue to sit at a 90-degree angle, and I'll go science-y, you know, and some of you people may like this or not, but if we continue to sit at 90-degree angles with inactive glutes and flexed hips and shortened calves, we are going to continue to be the most fucked-up postured in the history of human beings.
Yeah.
It is so bad for us. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And billions just in North America alone, right? Hundreds of millions, probably close to a billion, I stopped researching this because it's too frustrating, are spent in knee and back surgeries and recovery a year in government dollars, right? But they still sit everyone down. We need to stand up and we need to move.
You've been getting into the breathing, the oxygen lately, and you got me into it. I've been doing a lot of cold showers with the...
Well, oxygen's good, yeah.
Yeah, literally, it's like, ask your doctor about oxygen. Do you think that...
No, we should do that commercial.
Yeah, where it's like, ask your doctor about oxygen. Side effects may include longer life, sweet boners. It's like water, oxygen, movement, the simplest shit is the way to go. And everyone's looking for... Like, I have friends that'll still text me, like, what kind of blender did you use to lose all that weight? Like, what blender? I'm like, it doesn't matter the fucking blender, man. Just move around and drink more water. That's why I always tell people to stay hydrated, because it's such a simple thing that people forget. It's like, if you drink enough water, then you don't necessarily crave all the garbage, like all that soda.
Sure. I mean, hydration is crucial, and it's easy.
It's so easy to do.
I don't like water. I'm like, fuck you. You're a human.
You
are water.
Yeah, I don't like paying your medical bills, bitch.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we have to pay their shit.
I don't like the way it tastes. What? I don't understand that. Every hour on the hour, and again, I'm the exception, and I have the access, but I take a 16-ounce bottle of water, and I slam it on the hour, every hour throughout the day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, for like 10 hours. And that's only 160 ounces. I think everybody should drink 1 ounce of water per pound of body weight. A lot of people will say 1 ounce of water per half pound of body weight. So, like, I would only need, I'm 200 pounds, I would only need 100 ounces of water.
Yeah.
I know I feel fully hydrated at 200 ounces of water.
I drink 120 ounces per run.
Yeah, I mean...
I camel pack that shit.
You run 10 miles at a pop.
Yeah, and then I throw my shoes in the pack, and that's when I hit the sand. The deep sea.
You know, look, I think everybody, as they go on their fitness journey.
Right.
Because it is a journey.
Totally. Right?
You know, I stepped in the gym for the first time at 12 years old. And whether you step in the gym for the first time at 12 years old or 60 years old, we all have this expectation because, and it's beautiful, of what Arnold Schwarzenegger and the original people who were movement, who created this movement in our field, did, right? And you go to the gym, you're like, all right, I gotta sweat real hard, I've gotta be panting when I leave here, I've got to feel my muscles, right? And then I got to do a ton of crunches, right? And that was like the original, like, oh my God, I'm Kev Lilly. I'm 12 years old. I'm in a gym.
Right.
I'm going to lift until I can't feel my biceps, right? And I think the more you look at the fitness and health journey, the more it gets towards along the spectrum of like, wow, this is just what we're supposed to be doing anyway. Bring it back to that movement.
Yeah. Right?
So then you go even more basic and you're like, well, wow, what else is healthy? Well, water, right? Breath, right? Like you mentioned, quality oxygen, right? I'm trying my hardest to really get deep into the meditation thing, and not in the sense that I want to become a Buddhist, but, you know, if I asked you to run all day, could you run all day? Maybe you could.
Yeah.
For a day.
Yeah, but then right? I wouldn't. Then I'd probably...
Could you run the next day?
No.
Okay. Name, and I think the listeners should all do this too, and I know that you and I have chatted about this, but name the last time that voice in your head wasn't going. Or is it constantly going? Right, it's constantly going.
Right.
Imagine what would happen if we gave that voice a break. Right, and that's what being present is. When you're present, you don't hear that voice.
Yeah, you said something and that really changed my whole thought, is that if you're not present during an experience, it's almost like it didn't even happen.
Right, you won't remember it. So, name the times in your life you were ultra present. One, and not to sound cool or whatever, but one is sex.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're super present during sex, right? And then it becomes a very vivid memory to you. Right? Now, sometimes you have sexual experiences that you're off somewhere else, and you know, that's not right. But the idea is, and meditation is the practice of being present, right? And how does this relate to the fitness journey? I feel like I get exponentially more out of my workouts, right? When I am present during that workout. No phone, no music, and I'm just concentrating on the movement. Watch a gymnast.
Yeah.
Watch a ballet artist, right? It's beautiful. Why is it beautiful? Because they are nowhere else.
Yeah.
Now, go into Gold's Gym on a Sunday and watch five dudes doing chess together and talking about their wives and their jobs and the late shift. It's like, all right, that's some form of therapy, and I promote that.
Yeah.
But they're not getting nearly the workout that somebody who's just sat there.
Yeah, it's present. Like flow.
Can we pause this second?
Yeah, absolutely.
Katie walk in the gym.
Yeah, because I actually got to bounce pretty soon. I got to go do the physics
all right,
shit.
Hit pause and
walk. All right, cool. Because it's almost like a flow. It has to be challenging enough to lose yourself, but also like repetitive enough to get there, you know?
Well, I think it all builds. It's like strength of anything else, right? It's like, if you work on it, you can constantly be present.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's where Buddhists say the only way to do it is to be sat still.
You know? Still?
You see the monks, right?
Right.
Constantly present, right? Or I believe in balance, man. I think that if you can go through life and you can find your passion and you can turn your passion into your purpose and your career, right? If you're present along that way, then heaven is on earth. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, not
yeah.
that, I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but it's
not.
Like,
it's true.
You know, but for me, that journey all started with a bench press and a bicep curl, right? And then I realized, and I know that you felt the same, and I'm sure a lot of listeners have felt the same, that your workouts and your exercise start to become some type of mental relief. Not only a physical challenge or a physical feat, but mental relief. Right?
Yeah.
And, well, then you go, well, fuck, why is that? You know what I mean? And then you start going down that rabbit hole of, holy shit, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm supposed to be moving as a human being. That's what our species were meant to do. Constantly evolving, right? And it leads to be present. I just taught a guy last week how to do bicep curls. He was swinging them out of control. Look, I'm curling 50s. I'm like, buddy, you're half my size. And I couldn't curl that 50-pound dumbbell if you put $1,000 down.
Right.
And the point is like, you will feel a lot more success out of taking that 10-pound dumbbell and just focusing on your bicep curling up and extending down. Right. So I took the guy through a full workout with 5-pound and 10-pound dumbbells. And he said he's never been more sore in his life.
Yeah, it's like enjoy the process as if there's no end result.
That's
like,
right.
Like I always try to tell myself, that's why I'm trying to lower my nut for everything, because I don't want to ever think I need to complete this for money. Because that always messes up my flow. I like to think like, okay, what's the best I can do and enjoy it the whole time I'm doing it?
For sure.
You know? That way it's not like...
We get dead tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Dead tomorrow.
Like, I will die tomorrow.
So if you die tomorrow, are you happy?
Yes, very happy.
Me too, man. Yeah. And I think that that's what a lot of people have to look at themselves in the mirror and say, you know, look, and this, I'm just a fitness guy, but sometimes in my world, like you mentioned, a lot of my clients, a lot of my lions, I'll have to check them. And check them doesn't ultimately mean I have to call them fat. I have to ask them the question. And the question is, are you happy? Right?
Yeah, because you've seen me strung out and you've checked me. Like, right before my first hour special when we went to Austin, you were literally looking at me like, where are you right now? And I was like, my head was all over the place thinking about, you know, all my
jokes.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. And then you calm me down and I'm like, oh, you're right. I just got to be right now. And go out there and enjoy it like I'm doing any other set. Like, it's just why I do what I do.
Well, that's success, man. It's vision plus preparation, right? And I don't mean to sound like a corny Instagram, you know, meme or whatever that shit is. But it's like, if you had a vision, right, then trust me, it's going to come to fruition if you have the faith. Now, you better have prepared for that moment. And I walked backstage, and I had seen you 3 dozen times perform, right? I knew your material. Probably just as good as you right. know what I mean? And you were sitting there, and instead of being present, and you with your first hour special, massive paycheck, massive crowd, massive network, you were fucking worried. I'm like, what the fuck are you worried about? Dude, did Derek Jeter worry before his 3,000th hit was a home run? He right. knew right what the fuck was going on. He was present.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, look, when you're obsessed with success or you're obsessed with an outcome, it's very easy to find yourself stressed and not present. Trust me, my fiance will fill you in. We all have to be checked.
Yeah.
But that's why you need to surround yourselves with people in your life that will check you.
My mantra is Caesar got a salad. You know, it's like outcomes are silly. I always tell myself Caesar got a salad.
That's
he got lettuce and croutons.
That's it.
He took over the whole world. Hail Caesar. He got lettuce and croutons. So it's like, did he enjoy when he was in France killing Franks? And if so, then great. If he just kept thinking legacy, it's like Caesar got a salad.
Right.
And my other mantra lately is I might be wrong, but I'm not lying. Right. We're like, what I'm saying, I believe. Later, I might be wrong, and I sure. will be like, my bad. But in that moment, I don't have an agenda in what I'm saying.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because life's too short.
Well, life's too short, and you just gotta be fucking happy, man. And I know way too many people that are close to me in my life that are like, when this happens, whatever this is, then I'll be happy, right?
Oh, my
when
God, I that's lose, the cancer.
When
that's
I lose cancer. 20 pounds, then I'll be happy. No, 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 let me tell you. You need to love your body before you can change it, right? And, like, that may not make sense to so many people.
Right.
But you need to love where you currently are before you can even ask or force a change. If you just try and force a change, it's going to go the other way.
Oh, my God. That's why everyone was like, so how do I get ripped like you from being fat? I'm like... That's not the question. The question is, how do I feel better?
That's it.
Because if you're trying to look better, it's never going to happen. It's always got to be like... And you, like, made me just such an animal with that shit because that's what I enjoyed. I enjoyed being like, 8, let's make it 11. Oh, I can hit 15 because that's how my brain works. That is my flow. As product-oriented as it sounds, it really isn't. It's more just like... I'm like a dog. It's like, there's the ball, bring it back. Oh, the ball's a little farther, I'll get it and bring it back. And that zone allowed me to really enjoy exercise again.
But that was you, and that works for you.
Right, and a lot of people are not like that. And that's that point. It's kind of like paleo diet, or everyone's like, oh, the paleo diet's the way to go. It's like, people assume that paleo is the same thing throughout the world. And back then, every region had a different diet.
And we've been eating bread since the beginning of fucking time. You know
what I mean? Oh, yeah, it's like, totally. Well,
some people can digest it, some people can't. Some bread is quality, some bread is not.
Right.
So what's the point, right? There's no one way to skin this fucking cat. right? And everybody's health, lifestyle, training regime, fitness needs to be unique. And that's why I think personal training has a massive future in the world of fitness, right? I think there's small group training. I mean, this is going into the business of it, and I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but like personal training has a future, right? Because good personal trainers will shape a program to fit the client and their needs. One of my mentors years ago said to me, he goes, you know what the program is that works? What's the program that works?
What?
The one people will stick to.
Right.
Right?
Wow.
So like yours may be lifting, mine may be running, his may be a combination of the two, hers may be yoga. None is better than the other. They all have their ups, they all have their downs. Bring it all back. We are meant to fucking move. Be present while you move.
Perfect. That's it, man. Thanks for hanging, Kev.
Oh, dude, I will do this with you whenever you want, man.
Yeah, we got to do more of these.
Yeah.
So the bottom line, Kevin Lilly, where can people find you? Kevin J.
Yeah, so we're just restructuring all of this. So the business is heartandhustle.com, and we're located in Los Angeles. And, yeah, you can email me. I'm down with that. Kevin@heartandhustle.com. And, yeah, for sure. I'd love to chat with whoever and just, again, move. And be present, right?
Don't, yeah, because that'll help your whole life, you know? Because that's what I'm trying to do with Walter right now. It would be so easy to be like, oh, he's 7 weeks old, he's crying, but soon it'll be better because I'll be able to talk to him. And then when he's two, it's like, oh, I can talk to him, but soon I'll be able to...
Wait, I can drink a beer with
him. Oh, yeah. I'm looking at this kid right now, and I'm like, this is the best. Because I get to, like, take a bath with him and, like, carry him in my arm. Like, you got to think this moment will pass, and you got to enjoy it and move.
That's it.
Love it. Kevin, you're the man.
Oh, and you're the best, bro. I love you, kid.
All right, that was Kevin. And you can hear little clicks in part of it because we're drinking iced coffees. But I wanted to leave all that stuff in because it's just, it kind of feels like you're just hanging. And, yeah, you can always email me, whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com. I hope you got something out of this. Subscribe to the podcast, rate it, comment. I want to hear what you have to say. Keep the algorithm overlords happy at iTunes. My people, I love you guys. Peace.